All right, ladies, welcome officially to the Coach Training and Business Development 101 Q&A session. So this is an informal salon of sorts. A lot of you, if not all of you, had voiced interest in coaching or curiosity about coaching, becoming a coach. What does that even mean? What does it look like? And also like the coaching business, how does that all work? Like, is that actually a viable thing, or is that just like, you know, totally, totally improbable, et cetera. So there've been a lot of questions swirling and a lot of interest and conversation in the past couple months. It's been really interesting to kind of like see this open up simultaneously in a lot of you. And of course, like I'm delighted because this is my life's passion. And I truly believe, if you read through the workbook, you'll know this already, but I truly believe that the more of us that there are out there in the world, like shining the light and the coaching light and like the leadership and tools and knowledge light, that the better the world is going to be, virally in so many ways. So it really makes my heart sing that you all are interested in this. So there's no expectation from this at all. Like, I'm not trying to sign y'all up for anything. I don't even like have necessarily an offer right now. But this is literally just me holding space, being here for you guys to pick my brain and ask me anything. I'll probably answer anything unless the questions are super stretchy. No, I'm totally fine with being vulnerable. So it's an AMA sesh, and I did post a few videos, training videos last Monday, as well as a workbook that has like a bulleted kind of walkthrough of the like kind of highlights or key points of coach dev and coach business dev. So before we jump in, let's get a show of hands. Who can stay for the full hour and a half? Raise your hand. I just want to get a sense of who might need to jump off. Okay. So it looks like everybody can stay. Okay. Kim, you're cool to stay. Okay, cool. If anybody does need to jump off early, I just want to make sure I'm like prioritizing any questions that come up as we move along, but it looks like everybody's good to hang. Great. My next question is, who had an opportunity to watch one or all of the videos that I had posted last week? You guys, Ashley and Bryn watched all of them. Kaylee watched kind of. You watched one. You can unmute yourself.
Sorry. I watched the first one. I haven't had a chance to watch the other two.
Awesome. Thanks for doing that. Kaylee, you were...
Yeah, I started the video associated with the workbook associated with this. And I didn't realize it was 18 minutes because I started it 10 minutes ago. So I got through part of it.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So you watched the third video.
Half of the third.
Awesome. And Ash, I think did you watch all three of them? Thank you. Oh, such a good student. Ashley's officially my newest mentee. She's going to be working with me one-on-one, high touch for 8 months. Mwahaha.
Crazy, but exciting.
So excited.
Yes. It's going to be the best 8 months of your life.
Awesome. Yeah. I bet so.
It is.
Thanks, Miss Kim. And Kim, as you all know, was my previous mentee last year, and just, oh my God, it was such an amazing experience. She's really good. So I guess I do have kind of an update related before we hop in. So I mentored Kim last year, and then a couple of years ago, I mentored a couple of my other clients, and then now I'm mentoring Ashley. And as all of you have been expressing interest in coaching, I think Amy did as well, and Anisha, who's just kind of relatively new, but there's all this interest all of a sudden, it feels like November, December, January. And I'm like, ooh, like I'm paying attention to what y'all are, you know, interested in. And that the same thing happened with the entrepreneurship masterclass, where there was like a critical mass of you guys who are interested in starting your own businesses or becoming entrepreneurs or having a side hustle. And because that is part of my domain of expertise, I was like, well, who'd be interested in a masterclass? Like, we'll just put that together. So I truly am here to serve you guys. And so as the interest in coaching and the coaching world has been kind of coming up a lot more. I've been talking to my mentor and talking to my masterclass, and the seed has been like growing for a few years, if I'm being honest, because I've always wanted to like train coaches and like have a certification program, but it's been on the back burner because I've had LFP and now team and then the retreat. And it's like, you know, I've got a lot going on, including my one-on-ones. But now with all of this interest, I had this like ass kicking of a coaching session the other day. And then the mastermind right after that, where all of them were like, you need to create a certification program like now and you need to like, just do this and you're going to be great and it's going to be awesome. And like, yeah. So I officially now have a coach training certification program that I'm up and running. Yay. So Ashley's my, Kim is going to be certified because she completed it in November, and then Ashley will be the next one. So if any of you are interested in that, let me know. But
I'm interested.
You are? Okay.
Yes.
This is so weird. I took a half an hour power nap down by my wood stove, and Joel and I were just sitting and we had a quick dinner, and I go, Joel, I had this vision. You know, when you're sleeping, but you're not sleeping heavy, I could still see the kids. I could feel the heat in my body. I'm not fully asleep, but I'm so relaxed. It was like I was meditating. And I go, I don't even know if I believe in visions, but it was almost like Jazz was talking to Jazz. And I go, Jazz, that's the purpose of what you're doing. Fawn is a beautiful person that's already attracted more than she can handle, because she has a waiting list probably out the wazoo, which you had said. It probably came to me because you said it last week. And she is finding other beautiful people to serve others who want to make their lives better. And that's what makes you feel good. And you're on this path because she will help train. It's like counselors. They can't do any more sessions, but they recommend like other counselors who have expertise in the area. And Joel's like, that's fantastic. He's like, so if she knows that somebody would align with you or somebody else that she's trained, it's almost like a private practice of coaching and mentorship. And you're the owner of the private practice.
Yeah.
That's my vision. That's so weird. You just said that.
That's so incredible.
Yeah. I felt like, oh my God, that's Fawn's purpose. Does she know that? That's like what she's doing. But this is also why I found her. Like, this is why I ended up deciding on her. And this is the whole reason why like this has come into fruition. That's so weird because I don't even know if I believe in that stuff.
That's crazy.
But it was like a mini dream that wasn't a dream, that was really real about real things that like
that I've are heard happening.
You said and that are, yeah.
What?
There's your life purpose for you.
Oh my God. My goosebumps are like happening. Oh my goodness. That's amazing. That's the kind of stuff I pay attention to. Like, not that I'm saying you need to should or do anything, but like when that happens, I'm like, yes, universe. What? That's pretty incredible. Wow. So there's that. Yes, Jazz, that is part of the huge part of what's happening here. And I've never, like, I don't want to go too much into my whole thing, but like I've always held really like strong space in my business and in my professional path for my intention and my vision, but also for things that I could never anticipate or expect that are going to happen as a result of me following my hell yes and my purpose. So like I've had these like inklings along the way of things I'm going to do or what I want to create. And then like sometimes it happens way differently or sometimes it happens way bigger or whatever. So this is, like I said, it's been brewing for a while. Nobody else knows this, but I even have a .org set up for all y'all who are starting your own businesses or becoming coaches, and it's called symbioticenterprises.org. And the whole idea, and this is like an 8-year dream that I've been brewing on another back burner, is like bringing together all of these amazing coaches and side businesses that are helping the world and like bringing each other up and helping each other like get even, like help the world in even bigger ways. So there's all kinds of like empire building in ways. And Jasmine, I really appreciate that you like visioned that somehow, like there's something going on in the universe. So inspiring. Okay. So now that my heart just about like jumped out of my chest, Jazz, thank you for that. So let's go ahead and jump in. Here's what I'm thinking in terms of format. I don't want to be too formal about this at all. So what I'm thinking is I will go through the document kind of from top to bottom. We'll kind of cruise through that. And I'll just take pauses every so often to see if you guys have questions or where you might have questions with regard to the document, the outline, and or if you have questions that are like completely like related but not included in the document, that's totally fine with me too. I'm happy to answer anything that comes up. And because Ashley's watched all of them, Bryn's seen one, I want to be mindful of like being repetitive as I go through this, but I'll probably highlight or touch on some things as I move through. So Ashley and Bryn, this might be a refresher for you, but that's good because you're both now training to be coaches. So the more you hear this stuff, the better.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Any pressing questions or curiosities or thoughts before I share my screen? Okay. Cool. All right. Let's do this. And my signal hopefully is much better today. Thumbs up. You guys can hear me and see me. Okay. The other night on the group call, it was a nightmare. It was wabi-sabi. All right. So also Ashley and Herky, who's not here, had questions that they had posted in the Facebook group. So I'm going to probably get to those first during the main Q&A section at the end of the call. Beautiful. Okay. So the three videos, if you haven't watched them yet, have a ton of info. So just know that. And if I'm cruising through this kind of quickly, that's why. And all right. So the how, this is split up into a few different sections. Sorry, I'm cruising around. So as far as I see it, there's coaching, right? Learning to become a coach, understanding what coaching is, actually coaching. And then there's also business, which is different from coaching. And thankfully, I'm finding out that more training programs out there are serving their trainees with both the coaching side and the business side. In my experience, even up to just a few years ago, there was a huge lack of support and training and like information and empowering around what to do once you become a coach. Like, okay, like now I'm a coach. How the heck do I make something out of this? So I think that it's so important to consider it one, like it's one entity, and there's different parts of it that get developed that then can come together and thrive together as a coaching business. And I also think that coaching and being like having a coaching business inform each other a lot. So the more you understand about business and perhaps your business vision or what your life vision might be or the values that are important to you, that's going to inform how, like what kind of a coach you become or perhaps what you want to do as a coach, whether it's one-on-one coaching or public speaking or groups or corporate or what have you. So I think that all of this stuff like influences itself and each other. And so leaving one part of the equation out is just, I think, a pretty, does a disservice to the potential of the whole entity. So that's why I've included the Business 101 in this Q&A as well, or in this overview as well, because I think that it's important to consider everything. It's also the case too, that if you like, say, I don't know, I'm going to start a coaching business and you just like, and as somebody has no idea what coaching is or like what they're doing, their business is going to struggle because of that, right? Because they don't really know the success principles of becoming and operating as a successful coach. So it's all hinging on each other. All right. So there's, these are the kind of like the sections that are all related. There's the what and why and how of coaching, right? So what is it? How does it work? And then there's the business of coaching, and like how to get set up, right? Because a business is a whole, there's so much to it. So what is important? Like what are the foundational building blocks? And then what gets built on top of that and on top of that? And then there's a mentorship and training aspect of this too, where I truly believe that it's so important to receive and be involved in ongoing coaching and mentorship and masterminds or some kind of an outside support system as we grow as coaches. I think that should be, not should, but it's really great and should be mandatory, because it can become pretty echo chambery at times, meaning that if we're just like doing our thing and we're not really being coached ourselves or supported in some capacity ourselves, that it's kind of like an incomplete machine that's happening, or an incomplete cycle that's happening, and we're not growing with our clients. We're kind of just like hovering. So those are the parts of it, kind of the main highlights there. So there's a lot to consider, and I'm guessing that a lot of you have considered these questions before, like, you know, what can I do with coaching? Do I need a certification? How can I make a living? Is that realistic? So I'll actually open it up right now to any questions, like, or feedback from you ladies. As you go through these questions, is there anything that like stands out to you that feels really mysterious or like a burning question that you have? Maybe it's all of them too. Feel free to just unmute yourself and pop in.
I have a question.
Yes. Is that Kaylee?
That's Kaylee.
Yep. Go for it.
So to my knowledge, like legally, you don't have to have a training, like you don't have to have a certificate in order to coach someone. But specifically, I'm looking to coach based on our conversations, like younger dancers. And so I'm wondering like what sort of program I would need to follow for training to most benefit that clientele. You know what I mean? Like, I guess my question is, where should I do my training?
Right. Yeah. Great question. So starting with the result that you want to create for your niche. So where are they at right now? And you have an insider's perspective because you've been a dancer and you've gone through the lows and now you've worked through a lot and grown through a lot. So understanding like the inner psychology of what you're bringing people through along that journey, from pain point to result or from pain point to healing or balance, will then help you get a sense of what to be looking for in terms of a training program, or what to be looking for in terms of tools. So for example, if one of the major themes is self-esteem, or maybe a major theme is like eating disorders, or maybe a major theme is things like that, then those would kind of inform you as to where you might start looking for training programs that specialize in that, or tools that specialize in that. I do believe that there are now a number of coach training programs for coaching teens or for coaching adolescents. So you might look into that, just because it would be focused more on like the psychology and the stage of life that people are in at that age. And I think that would be the starting point if you wanted to do like a formal training program. That being said, because the coaching field is unregulated, for good or for bad, as I always say, you can reverse engineer how you got to where you're at and outline what those steps were for you. My coach calls it the result-centered training formula. So it's basically like, how did I go from stuck and confused to like where I'm at now? What were the things that really helped those shifts happen? And you can actually reverse engineering your own journey. You can create a process that you can bring people through, and that would be your niche and that would be your specialization. And Brendan Burchard, as you know, you're reading Millionaire Messenger right now, Kaylee, he talks about that as well. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, was that helpful? Is there anything related to that that I didn't cover?
No, that was really helpful, actually. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Anybody else have a question about these questions, or do any of these like jump out as?
I have a question.
Yeah.
It goes along with the Nietzsche as well. So my original thought was, as you probably know, is helping women over 50. But then in the past couple of days, I've also been thinking about helping people. I'm a firm believer that chronic disease is not just a result of biological processes. It's also the result of what's going on in one's life and how they're handling it. So that's another niche that I'm thinking about potentially entering. But as you might imagine, that brings some challenges with, you know, healthcare system type issues. And what should I consider, do you think, to get into that niche, and how, and, you know, I've been trying to kind of think, and this is just over the past couple of days, so I haven't had a lot of time to really mull over it, but the wording of that particular service has to be very delicate, I would imagine.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Right. I think you are on a really hot trail.
Yeah.
For sure. In fact, there's a sister in our tribe, Emily. She would be a good person to connect with because she has struggled with a rare situation, and she's been able to make huge strides through mindfulness and meditation and yoga and things that doctors didn't think were supposed to
happen. Right.
So she's a great person to talk to. She actually also got grants to read. She's published papers, university papers.
Oh, wow.
She's run studies. It's really cool. So just, that's kind of anecdotal, but perhaps related. I'm happy to put you guys in touch, or you could just reach out to her. She's awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So in terms of like treating health issues, that would be out of the scope, as it sounds like you're including. Yeah.
And I do have some knowledge because I do work in the biomedical research field.
Uh-huh.
So I do have some knowledge about the healthcare field based on that.
Yeah, which is great. Like that's, you have a lot going for you because you have that context and that background. That's great. So you may look into approaching this from the impact of mindfulness on chronic disease or on health issues. There's thank goodness, a lot of research coming out around that these days.
Right. Yep.
The health coaching field right now might have some information about that, or specializations in like mindfulness for alleviation of, I don't know, health problems or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, in terms of the languaging, there is a legitimate dance that needs to happen around we're not treating anything, we're not guaranteeing results, but there is a lot of support and evidence for spirituality, mindfulness, healing through identity, like identity shifts and things like that. Are you familiar with Bruce Lipton, the PhD?
Yes.
You are? Okay. Yeah. So his epigenetics work is really cool. And that might be a good place to go as well. In fact, he has a training program that I've wanted to take for a long time. It's called Psych K. If you go on Bruce Lipton's website or the epigenetics website, there's a link somewhere there to the Psych K site, and the Psych K people, allegedly, I haven't done their training yet, but I've researched a lot. Apparently they're able to help like literally take out any limiting belief tapes. And like,
I've actually taken their first level of training.
Oh, you have? No kidding.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I did it a couple years ago. So it's pretty amazing.
Oh, I have to talk to you about that sometime.
Yeah.
Okay, so you already know all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would do some research around it, like health coaching or mindfulness for health improvement, coaching for like epigenetics, like just start working with those keywords.
Right.
And okay. I have a spreadsheet I'll send over to you to help you track your research, because it can get real rabbit holey pretty quick.
Yeah.
I think that's a great field. Yeah.
Great. Thanks.
Sure. Yeah. It's exciting. Cool. Anyone else have a question about any of these questions here?
Yeah. I think that I'm most concerned with like the validation with a certification, mm-hmm. and if you need / you know, where you should get one, mainly because like reverse engineering, when I was doing my research, I really felt more drawn to those that I felt had some level of expertise in like a domain of psychology or counseling or had certification, or, you know, the resume was like strong enough. And yours was. But I feel like I personally would feel a little bit more confident rather than just say, oh, I have a skill in this area and I have years of experience in teaching, but that's not what I would have been looking for as a client.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's just a limiting belief or if it's, I mean, I know there's something to it because I was on the other end of that. So I can't be the only one who thinks that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trusting somebody, you're paying for a service. It's not going through insurance. You're, you know, I don't know.
Jasmine, I have had the same concerns as you. And I think being in the academic field, it's something that we look at, right? It's sure. We feel that we need to be not only skilled, but also credentialed.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I struggle with that same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that as well. That's a really great and important thing to be checking in with for yourself. I think fundamentally, bottom line, it's up to how we feel about it. Because whether we are certified by the ICF or whether we're certified by our sister yesterday, like it's about how we feel about ourselves in entering into the space. And no matter what, people are going to care and people are not going to care. So for me, I think I mentioned this in a couple videos, like my coach, I started working with a coach, being coached and mentored before I did my training, my first official training. And she was like, oh, you're natural, go out and do it. Like, you know, I've taught you the ropes. And I was like, I do not feel confident in that. Like, I feel like I need to get some kind of an actual training here. So for me, and, you know, having graduated from UC Berkeley and like, you know, blah, 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 prestigious psychology department, I had been really in like, and that had been ingrained in me, like the credibility factor. And I think credibility is very important, but it's about which part of that is like story and which part of that is legit. So by that, I mean, here's one philosophy, that as long as you are able to help people get results, and as long as you're one step ahead of somebody else and you can help them on their way and like save them time and energy or strife, even if you're one or two or three steps ahead of them, then you're credible, right? Then you have the ability to help somebody, and that's legit and that's totally good to go. There's another philosophy that just in sharing space with somebody and using the very basic coaching framework to help them get into a process of inquiry and help them explore their own answers, that's legitimate. Like that's an actual service that you're providing. So when it comes to trainings and certifications, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It might mean something to somebody who cares about, like, have you been certified? But to be honest with you, I think maybe in 8 years, I've been asked 6 times. Like, if I, like, it does not even come up very often. But if for yourself, you really care about feeling like you're competent in what you're doing, then a training is great. And the good news is there's a ton of them out there, and it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg, or you can make a big investment in it, or you can kind of like graduate up to whatever, but you can learn the fundamentals and the basics and start practicing them fairly quickly. And then if you want to specialize, so essentially what I've done consistently for a long time is source different trainings and different programs and invest like, you know, a few thousand here, a couple hundred here, whatever, like whatever stage I'm at, to learn what I feel like I need to learn. And I've kind of patchworked together my own, like who I am right now. So that's a great thing too, is that it doesn't have to be this like 2-year certification. It can be a step-by-step process for you at whatever point that you're at. So I don't know if that speaks to your question, but that's a little unpacking around it.
Yeah. No, that's helpful. It's hard to figure out if it's just like part of my wheel or if it's something that is, you know, legitimate. Because I majored in math and then got the opportunity to teach at an alternate route school. But then I went back to get my master's in education because I felt like to be a good educator, I need like the pedagogical course of study. Mm-hmm. Which I definitely didn't now, like looking back, but that's what I felt like. So now is like, this just part of my story? Like, oh, now I want to be a coach, but I need the coaching certificate. And then in 10 years, you're like, you didn't need the coaching certificate. Or is it something that is legitimate for a lot of people who are looking for this kind of service?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But yeah, that's what you said helps.
Okay. Yeah. It's a complex question. It's a really, really good one. I was in my mastermind last week. So one of the ladies that's in my mastermind is a therapist, and she's had her practice for many, many years. And cause I was like, you know, I'm like, I really want to create a certification program. Essentially that's what I've been doing, is like, you know, like comprehensively training coaches and helping them out. But there was some stickiness, and this is super vulnerable for me to share with you ladies, but there was some stickiness or something in there around like me creating a certification program. Like, who am I to do that? And there's a lot of conversation around that, but something that one of that my therapist cohort said, she's like, okay, I've been in therapy for a long time. And she's like, and my ex-boyfriend's a coach. And so I'm familiar with the coaching world. And she's like, honestly, nobody gives a fuck if you are ICF certified or if you're a part of the ICF. Cause that was my whole thing, is like, I don't care about the ICF, but me certifying people, like there's something wonky with that, that feels wonky. And she like totally helped me like kind of crawl through that belief system. And she was like, nobody cares if you're ICF certified or not. Cause that's usually the certification. If somebody is like feeling like they need to get certified, it's usually that level. But you can learn what you need to learn without having to do that. So it's just a really funny thing in the coaching realm.
You're totally right. The first thing that popped into my head was, if I've got an educator who can work with my kid and show them any way to help them learn and grow and see it and have it be like a really organic, deep level, I don't care if you went to school for underwater basket weaving, this perfect. Yeah. Like, I don't care if you've never taught before in your life. So yeah, that's, I just like answered my own question.
But yes.
Yeah.
That's great.
Can I say, I had that same concern, at first, and kind of like Jasmine just said, I realized that I've already been to school once. I wanted very practical use of the coaching techniques and everything like that. Plus Fawn teaches everything about business. And so I felt like I lucked out with the training that I received compared to sitting in a class or, you know, on the phone or on, you know, having a, just, you know, doing it on a website, you know, just typing away by myself. I just felt like it was so valuable, as far as the techniques, the marketing strategies, the technology that you need. I felt like it was so practical. And what's the craziest thing is that you then look back at your own coaching journey with Fawn and you realize, oh my God, that's what that was. So it is so cool to see it from both sides. And it, she's so transparent with everything and will share everything. So I know for me, anybody who thinks that that certificate would make me a better coach, probably is not my type of client, I guess is what I would say. I don't know. I just feel that way. So I just want to chime in. But I did have those same questions at the beginning. Like, will anybody take me seriously if I don't, you know? And then once you get to the end, you realize all the wealth of information that you have and that you can really bring that to light when you do your consults with people. So, you know, if you can really put that out there for them, I think they'll overlook it. And again, unless they are that kind of person, then you have to, if they deny you because of that, then you have to realize that maybe they aren't my person to work with. So.
Thanks, Kim. Aw. Appreciate that. Yeah, it was really interesting. It was really fun mentoring Kim because she had worked with me for an entire year as a client before that. And there were all these moments where, like the movie Inception, where you're like inside and then you're inside and she's like, wait, that's what we were doing. Super cool. So I guess like summarize that. You can go on Udemy right now and do Transformation Academy's like certification program for probably $100, like for, I don't know, for, I think they have like 20 different like courses and they're really great. Right. And I actually had a consult call with a woman last week and she was like, oh, I got the master coach certification. I was like, where? And she was like Transformation Academy. And I was like, oh, I have that too. Like, they're really great. But like, have you actually done anything? Like, have you worked with a coach? And she was like, no. And I was like, have you worked with anybody? Have you been like practicing anything you've learned? And she's like, not yet. I was like, okay, well, you have a really great foundation and you're certified as a master coach now. And I highly recommend that you get a mentor and that you start to, and or peers who are also coaches, like find a mastermind or a group and start practicing, because it's one of those things like, Jazz, you can study how to play soccer all day long, but until you get on the field and you start actually scrimmaging or you start actually playing, that's how you become a star soccer player, right? And having a great coach coach you and a great team around you. Like that's, I mean, it's a great analogy. So if having a certification and doing the legwork makes you feel better, I get it. I'm the same way. And that's why I've done what I've done. And I continue to further my education as a coach. And it's, everybody's different. So you can also do it in bite-sized pieces and get a certification and put yourself out there. But I think the practice part of it is the most important, like getting out there and doing it. And you're already so helpful, Jasmine, like what you were describing last, almost every time in an LFP call, I'm like, you're already a coach, dude. Seriously, I think I told you that on our consult call, like, the, I don't know, it was very early on. I was like, what about coaching? All right, that's a great topic. Does anyone else have any, like, questions or relatabilities about that? Okay, I hope I didn't just, like, confuse you all more than you were before that question, because it is a little tricky, but okay. All right, let's cruise along here. Oh, I just share my screen. Okay. All right. So in the videos, you'll learn more about what the ICF is. And I want to be clear that I'm not trying to talk crap about the ICF or like it's a bad organization. They're awesome. Like they're like the medical association, or I don't know if they're awesome, but they're an official association and they're great and they're there for a reason. And if anybody wanted to, if that was important to them and they wanted to go through ICF training, I am 100% behind you because it's a great thing to do. And for a lot of people, it makes them feel a lot more credible. And they are more credible in ways than people who don't do that level of training. So I just want to make that clear because sometimes I know that I might sound like I'm poo-pooing on them and I'm not trying to do that. I just personally don't quite resonate with that. Okay, so for the sake of not repeating what I've already gone through in the video, I'll just summarize here that in a lot of coach trainings, so they'll prepare you to become a coach and they'll teach you maybe even the business side of it these days, which is great. And I think that some of them do, but a lot of them don't emphasize the impact you can make in the world and how positive of a, of just simply by you coaching, what a viral effect it has, what a ripple effect it has. And so I wanted to like oomph the what of coaching. Like coaching isn't like just coaching people, which is so amazing and so huge. I don't mean to say just, but it's above and beyond coaching people and impacting people's lives, because when people's lives improve, which they do through coaching, as all of you hopefully know, they go home to their kids and their families or their coworkers or their employees, and they're changing the lives around them. And then those people are changing the lives around them. And it's one of the few industries, I think, that have the actual potential to change the world so virally and so powerfully. Therapy is great. Counseling is great. Like there's all kinds of wonderful, teachers are amazing. Like Kim and Jazz, like, thank you so much. And anyone listening in on this like recording that's a teacher, you guys are amazing and you're changing the world. And coaching, there's so much potential for us to, if that's what you're up to or into, which you don't have to be, but there's so much potential for positive change with coaching. So it's really fulfilling on that level, like hugely, when you see your client or somebody like, oh my gosh, it's the best thing in the world. Cool. All right. So we covered a lot of this, the ICF and certification. So for those of you who are not in the Entrepreneurship Masterclass, so I guess that would be Kaylee. I think everybody else is in that. So I talk a lot about like how business and business development entrepreneurship is like the best personal development course in the world, because it has us stretch in ways that like we have to stretch if we're going to have a successful business. So around our ego, around our money story, around our leadership, around our confidence and all kinds of things. So coaching and developing as a coach, our inner game up levels so much through that as well. So it's like, we get to learn how to coach, but we also become these humans that, for me at least, I was like, I can do this. This is amazing. Like I can change my thoughts. Cool. So it's a wonderful field or a wonderful practice or profession for that reason as well. It's like a constant calling forth to grow and become the best we can become for the sake of what we're doing, which is really great. Like detaching from ego is something that I mentioned in the videos that, oh my gosh, it's been the biggest blessing in the world, like learning how to do that and most of the time in service. So practicing, I just touched on that too, like coach your ass off, get a mentor, supervisor, coach, colleague, or take a training. Tools. So this is a really fun part about being a coach too, is that once you start to hone in on who you love serving and how you are excited to serve them or the results that you're excited to help people get, then you get to go on this amazing quest of like searching the world for what are the best tools that help people do this, which is how I found, well, because I've always been obsessed with personal development, I think I found NVC and Byron Katie and a lot of this stuff like for my own sake, but a lot of things too. As I was researching for LFP, I would come home with books from the library. Oh God. When I was researching for Life on Purpose, I would come home from the library with stacks of books and like sticky notes and boards around my room, and I came across so many amazing techniques and approaches to human behavior and change. And so that's a really fun part of this, is that you get to learn these like incredible things, and then you get to teach them to other people and help them change their lives with them. So, and so like, Kaylee, your question around the, that niche of younger dancers, you would get to also be learning these tools as you come across them that will probably really like genuinely benefit you in your life as well. And then being able to teach these tools to your girls, like that is just, I don't know, it's so much fun. I think it can be one of my favorite parts. Any questions about that, like tools or research?
Just real quick, going back to, it says, ICF standard model and core competencies.
Yes.
That's, so the ICF standard model is something that you can research without going through the certification course.
Yep. I can send you a resource, in a couple of days. I'm having my assistant like make it look prettier because it's kind of a mess, but yes. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the ICF standard model is the backbone of all, almost all of the training programs, definitely the ICF credential training programs. And it's, yeah, it's a framework that anyone can learn. Like you can find it on their website. You can, the book, the Coactive Coaching book, I think has it in there as well. And what that means, it's kind of two things. One is, what is the arc of a coaching session? And there's like a standard arc that the ICF says that you are to follow in a coaching session, which is, it's valid. It's really helpful. And then there are core competencies, as they call them, that we as coaches get to develop and learn and practice that are helping our client through the arc of that coaching session. So active listening is an example of that, learning how to listen at, technically there's four levels of listening, but learning how to like really tune in, like really be present to the point where it's almost like psychic. And then powerful questioning is another core competency. So like being familiar with the power of inquiry and how to dance with that and when to do that and which question might be the one that's, you know, going to facilitate. And so the core competencies are, they're kind of the how, and then the coaching session journey is like the, I guess like the what, if you will. But yeah, I can send you some stuff around that for sure. Cool. Good question. All right. Any other questions related to that? Okay. So specialization and niche, it's so important if you're in the business of coaching, it is so important to have a niche. I would even argue that just if money were no object and you just wanted to coach, I would argue that having a niche is also still important, but specifically for the business part of things, because well, and the impact, because the more laser your niche is, the more you can understand their inner world. And that's another advantage of like, there's a philosophy of like, you are your client, or like you 3 years ago or 5 years ago or 6 months ago, like that's your niche, because you've already gone through it, right? You understand the inner world, you understand the pain points and the languaging. But if you were to choose a different niche or something that's not like, you know, verbatim your track or your life's journey, like doing the research and talking to those people, having conversations, reading blogs, like getting into their world, then you understand what it is that's holding them back, what it is that's, you know, limiting them, or the gremlins that are getting in their way, or the, you know, the patterns or like the environments that they might be in. You know, so with relationship coaching or divorce coaching, it's going to look very different than, you know, teen dancers or corporate executives, or, you know, so if we're going out into the world and we're just saying like, I'm a coach, I can coach anybody. Sure, you can, definitely. And the power of inquiry and the ICF model like provides that framework. But there's a depth to niching that allows for us to like really get it. And then that also on the marketing side allows for us to speak to our niche in a way where they're like, that's my person. She's reading my mind. She's taking the words out of my mouth, which it always excites me when people hop on a consult call and they're like, I went to your Thumbtack or I went to your website and I read it. And it's like, you were reading my mind. And I was like, yes, like, let's talk. So that's the aim. And it's not for like bigger sales or any of that bro marketing bullshit. It's because we want the right people to find us so that we can help them powerfully. So niching is really important. There's a lot to that though. Do you guys have any questions about that?
No, I just really resonate with that. Mm. I read your page and was like, she is taking the words out of my mouth. It is like when I read the 16 personalities results for mm-hmm. the first time a couple of years ago, and it was so creepy. Like what you just said is, you want the right people to find you so that you can help them because you're like on the same wavelength mm-hmm. and have the ability for that specific need. Mm-hmm. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good example. Thanks for offering that up. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's, if we're entrepreneurs, that's how we want our audience to be our ideal customers or our ideal target market or our early adopters to feel. We want them to be like, oh my God, like that's what I've been looking for. I want that thing, whatever the thing is. That's how I feel about, this is so random. That's how I feel about Moomoos. When I see a Moomoo that's like awesome, I'm like, yes, good marketing or design. Anyway. You guys watch, Moomoos are going to come back in style. okay, so there's a second part to the specialization. So there are coaches out there like that specialize or niche in, let's say, like executive coaching or peak performance coaching. So Olympic athletes, politicians, entertainers, you know, company multi-billionaires, and they're able to, they don't need to know all the intricacies of whatever the industry is because they're able to drop in and like they get the psychology of that person, they get the experience of what's happening in that person. So that's where niche can be kind of broad, is if there's a character type that kind of spans a lot of different domains but struggles with similar issues and or has similar aspirations. So as you can probably imagine, like athletes and musicians and anybody in like a specialized field probably wants to advance. Like that's kind of the trajectory of being in that sort of a field. It's like they want to become peak performers. And so like, Todd Herman, the alter ego guy, that's his specialty. He works with peak performers, but he doesn't like niche to only athletes or only, you know, leaders in a particular space. He works with people that are like at that level. So, I just wanted to mention that too, because you probably will, if you're looking into coaching, you'll probably hear people say like, well, what if I don't know that particular industry? Or like, I mean, I don't know all y'all's industries. Like, I don't know anything about teaching really, or biomedical or PR or dance or sales, right? Like, well, maybe sales, but I understand your psychology. I understand where you're at because the niche is more around the psychographic than the demographic. So does that, Kim, are you hearing the rooster and cracking up over there? I knew it. I'm going to get a paintball gun.
I love him.
I'm going to put him in a box and send him to you. Yeah,
is that your rooster or is it a neighbor's rooster?
Who knows? Who knows whose roosters they are? Nobody knows. It's a big mystery, but there's about 100 of them within a 100-yard radius of my house because it's Mexico. Bane of my existence. Anyway. squirrel. So I just wanted to to offer that up to you ladies and let you know that it's okay to not have like an industry niche per se or a demographic niche. It can be a psychographic niche. So does that make sense? I would imagine there's probably some questions. It does. Okay, cool. All right. Let's keep going here. Automation. Okay. This is where I get extra excited because I truly believe that, and no offense to anybody who does not want to become an entrepreneur, like different walks for different people, totally valid. I just happen to be obsessed with entrepreneurship. One of the reasons being is that it's limitless and what you can create and what you can earn and what you can do and the impact you can make is literally limitless. So I get really excited about coaching and the knowledge business, advice expert business, because of what's possible. And I've seen it happen around me now for 7 years and I've studied it for that long and I'm like watching it and learning about it. And now I'm creating it and I'm working with this mentor that's like doing it and I'm watching her. Like, it's so amazing. Once we automate our businesses or our products or our services, and we start to leverage and we start to productize things and we find something that a market really, really needs and is striving for, and we're able to deliver it to them in a way where we don't necessarily need to be there for them to experience the result, it's like the sky's the limit. Like, it's amazing. So, and it's not, I used to be like, oh, well, that's kind of scammy. Like, I don't know about people going out, like selling their programs. What if you don't get results from the programs? But like, I have demolished all of those gremlins because I've realized that by being genuinely ethically in alignment with ourselves and offering true value, extreme value, as I call it, and we're actually helping people experience results, then there's no reason to feel like weird about productizing it. So a lot of you have probably seen programs out there like Tony Robbins, and there's so many more coming out every day, like online courses and programs and masterclasses. And that's how, especially in the coaching industry, that's how people are becoming multimillionaires within 48 months, within 2 years or 3 years or whatever. So it's not easy. It's a lot of work, but there's a formula and there's a framework. And so it's just a matter of doing it. So hopefully 6 months from now, a year from now, I'll be like, proof is in the pudding, because I haven't technically sold Life and Purpose as its standalone product yet. Which is why I'm getting a lot of really great help. So, cause a lot of people are like, well, how does a person make a living or like a thriving as a coach? One way is to be a high ticket coach and work with $100,000 clients. One way is to do group programs or masterminds where each person is in it at 20K, 30K, 40K a year and you've got, 12 people in your mastermind. That's over $1 million or somewhere in the ballpark. So there's ways to leverage it with your like one-on-one presence, which a lot of coaches also do. But the other way, or an additional way to do that, is to create products or services productized so that you can sell them, leverage that in a one-to-many context or capacity instead of one-to-one. So that's how people are making money. And it's like, that's where a lot of money story gets triggered too, because it's like, well, I don't know about that. But it's incredibly valuable. And I've taken Lord knows how many programs, like 30 maybe, that half of which were like, okay, half of which changed my life and like allowed for me to be here helping you ladies in the way that I am and like teaching you what I'm teaching you. And were totally worth it. A lot of the programs I took, I would have paid like five times as much for. And I had no one-on-one contact with the coaches in some of those scenarios. So it is really valuable. It does offer value to the world. And that's how we begin to really, really leverage. And you don't even have to be in the limelight if you're more on the like, kind of personal space side of things or introverted side, or just you don't want to be like, hey, I'm Tony Robbins. You can do it super, like, you know, low key, and there are lots of ways to do that. But I really, really want to emphasize, because I didn't know until I knew. And then once I found out about this whole realm around knowledge-based businesses and advice experts and watch people do this, I just had no idea. So I want everyone to know that it's possible to make a thriving from your coaching business in that way too. Questions?
I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
When you started your coaching business, were you also working other jobs? And then did you slowly sort of transition into doing coaching full time? How long did it take you in particular? Mm-hmm. And did you have a time frame in mind when you first started?
Mm-hmm. Good questions. Oh man, if I knew then what I do now. So yes, I was hustling for a couple of years, and I saved up and essentially got no sleep for a while. So what I did is I studied under a mentor. I got my training. My training didn't include any aspect of like the coaching business though, like actually. So then I did about a year of a variety of different trainings to learn more about business and the business side of things. While I was working, I was like managing a super fancy restaurant in Beverly Hills. And before that I was doing something in San Francisco. I was also working on like photo shoots and film sets, like just, you know, paying the bills while I was learning my skills. And I didn't really, it was like absorbing information for probably the first year and a half. If I could do things over and go back, I would have started like marketing, like really focusing on marketing myself earlier on. I wasn't doing a lot of that because I didn't really understand what it was or how to do it. And the thing that was my really big break was working with my second or third mentor, Mark, in LA. And he really taught me a lot about how to find my ideal clients and how to actually like sign clients and have a practice of it, because prior to that I had been coaching, but it was so like kind of piecemeal. So now I'm confident that like with what the mentorship that I gave Kim and what I'll be teaching Ashley, now I understand like how you can start getting clients like much more quickly and start to segue away from your, you know, or keep your job and coach or whatever. And this was also so far back ago that like marketing funnels were just starting to happen, and like Facebook and Instagram, like their influencers weren't even a thing. Like this is back 2013, 2014. So it was a different world back then too. And now getting yourself in front of your niche and in front of your ideal client is so much easier and so much more doable than it's been ever before. So I think for anybody starting out now, once you know your niche and once you know your nuts and bolts, marketing is really, really what's going to get you lifted off the ground pretty quickly. And that could be through, there's so many marketing channels, but depending on where your clients are hanging out, it could be Yelp, it could be Thumbtack, it could be Facebook, it could be, you know, Snapchat. I mean, it really depends on where your people are hanging out. So it's kind of I don't know if that was a roundabout answer to your question, but.
Yeah. Thank you. I was just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. Did that speak to what you were curious about?
Yeah. I think like for me, I'm curious about how long it actually can take. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I know everyone's path is very different. So what happened for you is not the same thing as what will happen for me or someone else. You know what I mean? So, but I was just curious because I wanted to get a sense.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I'm trying to mute myself because the rooster's like, feels like he's just coming on inside. What's going on up there? Yeah, that's a great question. Like I said, if I going back, even if I were going back to 2013, 2014, I would save up and I would use that for marketing. Like I would put everything, almost everything into marketing that I could. And do it in obviously like specific ways, not just throw money at the machine, but like invest in Facebook ads, invest in Instagram ads, or invest in Thumbtack. Once my mentor was like, oh, like here's this thing called Thumbtack. Here's how you use it. Here's how you find your people. Oh my, it's been incredible. And Yelp as well has been really great for me too. And I'm sure if I had marketed myself somewhere else, it would probably be good because I would understand the formula. But yeah, that's what your success is going to hinge on, is you getting yourself in front of your people, which is marketing.
So Fawn, did you have your program developed before you started coaching, or did you just develop it as you were coaching? How did that evolve?
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, long story short, no, I did not have a program when I first started coaching. In fact, like my niche changed a lot, like four times, I think, because at first I was like, I'm going to be a relationship coach. I don't know why I wanted to do that, but that's what I thought I was going to do. And then I wanted to do something else, creatives, I think. I wanted to coach creatives. And then that shifted once I started learning about social enterprise and social entrepreneurship. I was like, oh my God, like this is the sweet spot. I want to work with people who want to change the world. That's my niche, period. It's like trailblazers and world changers. And then as I picked up momentum in coaching people of kind of all walks of life, even though I knew I had that niche, I was still like working with kind of whoever I could. And I started to notice these common themes that would come up around their struggles or around things that I would recommend to them or things that I would kind of facilitate them through that would help them get to the next step of their journey. And I found myself kind of going through that repeatedly, and I was like, okay, this is pretty common. So this is a part of the process. And I would just kind of like mentally or in my computer, like put it there. Like, this is a part of the process. And then as I started to use Thumbtack more and I started to realize that part of what I also want to do in my niche is like liberate people who feel stuck or unfulfilled or purposeless in their career. And that's when I really started to hone in on that. And then I started noticing themes that would come up repeatedly and how I would be able to help people break through that, like core values or mindfulness or self-love. And so I started to notice these commonalities. And then I had known for a long time that I needed to and wanted to create a program. And so as these things started to happen, that's why niching is so great, because we start to realize like, oh, there's a formula here. There's kind of like a system or like a set of tools that is really helpful in sequence and helping people. And that's how LFP was kind of developed in its essence, was that framework. And then I started doing a butt ton of research around like each of these transitional phases, and was able to, you know, kind of integrate that and then, you know, write it in for each module and create each module. But it was pretty organic, to be honest. Like, I created LFP in step with coaching, maybe even some of you. It's been 3 years now since, or maybe almost three and a half, because I started building it before it was even called a thing. So yeah, it happened organically, and I would like test it. And that's why it's been in pilot for so long, too long, some would say, is that I've been like making sure that this stuff works, making sure that like all the modules create the transformations and that you ladies are like, or, you know, all my clients are experiencing the, like those breakthroughs or those like next step moments or aha moments along the way. I wanted to validate my program as opposed to doing what a lot of the coaches out there or the program hypey coaches out there say, and they're like, oh, just build a course, like reverse engineer your process and then like create a framework and then just sell it, promote it. cool. If people can do that, great. But for me, I'm like, I need to validate this. I need to make sure this is actually creating transformation and results personally. Like, that matters to me. And so I vetted LFP every step of the way until, like, you know, maybe 2 years ago or so, where I was like, okay, this works. Like, I've got a thing here. I've got a program. And yeah. Does that answer your question, Bryn?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a great one. I think Ashley had a question about that too, or someone else did.
Yeah, I did. And then we've answered it throughout the thing, but it was more of like from the perspective of, did you, like, what do you do if you don't have a program at first? And how did you just mm-hmm. first start out? Like, and we've talked about this in terms of, like, just, you know, like you said, like starting with the one-on-one and finding your niche and developing it along the way, because you mm-hmm. don't necessarily have to have a program when you first start coaching, because I certainly won't.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Cool. And then having tools too.
If you don't have a program when you first start out, do you just kind of play it by ear? How does that progress?
Mm-hmm. So the coaching framework and the core competencies are the backbone with which you can coach anybody, because it's a process of inquiry that is applicable to any scenario or anybody. It's basically like using that framework and the core competencies to coach people and whatever it is they're going, you know, whoever, whatever. And then in doing that, as you start to tune into your niche or realize that you like working with a specific like situation or kind of person, or that maybe you have some tools that you really like using, then things start to formulate. Not all coaches have programs. In fact, I would say the majority don't really have a program. They might have a process, but not a program. I'm a freak of nature in a lot of ways as a coach. I'm like, yeah. It's not necessarily like common or even standard to have a program. So you don't need to feel obligated to have one. You can simply hold space with people in that way. And you may know that there's a process you're going through, or you may not, but you can still be an amazing coach and not have a program.
Awesome.
Yeah. Good question. Cool. All right. We've got about 10 minutes left. Let me see if there was anything else here. So in terms of the business side, I'm going to share my screen again here, and then I'm going to answer the questions from the Facebook thread. So on the business side of things, there's a whole mountain there, but a couple things I'll mention and highlight here. The technological side of your business, your coaching business, technology is amazing. Technology is your friend. So this day and age, you know, as you all know, there's Calendly, so you don't have to go back and forth with people about scheduling. There's Google Drive to help you stay organized. There's Trello. I've started using Trello with a few of my newer clients, which is basically like a task organization app and software that's so awesome. I've used it for years with my assistant, but anyway, there's all this great technology, and yes, it's intimidating at first because it's like each technology is kind of a world of its own, but for the most part, it's very learnable and it can be very, very useful. So if you're having any like worries about how do I keep it all organized and like what links to what, it takes some learning, but it's totally possible. And once you've got a flow going, it's like, it's so great. So I wanted to just highlight that. And not all coaches do that. I'm not saying that you have to or you need to. I've never actually come across a coach who like creates a folder for their clients with notes and checklists and stuff. I do that because it's hugely beneficial for me and hopefully you ladies, but it's not standard. It's not, and it's not required, but it's helpful. So in the world of technology and applications and software, you you can find what works for you, and it's really going to help your business and probably your coaching flow as well. So yeah, business side of things, like there's so much in here, but I would say, like, as the startup kit here says, most importantly, learn the foundations and the core competencies, continue to do your inner work, and just start coaching and start to hone in on your niche. And that's really like the foundation. And once you start to hone in on your niche, then you can really start monetizing, you know, because then you can market yourself to your people. And one thing I also want to drive home that I highly recommend is once you've had a number of practice sessions that you've either done for free or maybe just like, you know, kind of a learner's rate. Once you feel like you're like, okay, like I'm feeling ready to actually like put my open sign on my door, hang my shingle. I lost my train of thought. I highly recommend never selling one-by-one sessions, one-off sessions. Have a package. Even if that package, you don't have a system yet or a process, totally cool, but have a package of at least 4 sessions. 8 is great, but you know, you feel into that, because one-off sessions, it can become so confusing and messy because people are willy-nilly scheduling and payments aren't consistent and progress isn't consistent. And it's just really, really challenging. So having a package that you offer, first of all, you get an investment, you know, a larger revenue on the front end, but you need to be mindful of like your money spending or whatever along the way. But also, most beneficially, you and the client have that consistent journey that you're on, and that commitment level that's there. And yeah, so that's really, really important.
I have a question.
Yeah.
On the practice sessions. So, mm-hmm. So like you said, when you're actually selling your coaching services, you want to sell a package. Mm-hmm. So what do the practice sessions look like, or what should they look like, or what, that's been a question on my mind, is if I'm just practicing and I'm doing one session with someone, what should that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. So kind of circling back to the ICF framework and core competencies. So you can, anybody that has something that they're wanting to work toward or create in their life, or conversely overcome or transform, with those competencies and with that foundation, you can help them. So if you want to only start doing free sessions with women over 50, totally cool. Or if you are kind of saying, hey, everybody, like I'm offering free sessions, that's totally cool too, because you're practicing the fundamentals at first. You're practicing that, like, you know, we do this, the arc of the coaching journey, and you really get your foundation like practiced in by doing practice sessions. And then you can, for example, maybe somebody's like had a great session with you. You can offer them like, would you like to do this again in a week or 2 weeks, another free session, and, you know, support them with that sustained accountability. And maybe you offer 4 free sessions to somebody, or 8 or what have you. And then you let them know that you're available. Like, you will be charging after your, I don't know, 30th free session, overall or something like that. That's when you're going to start to, you know, charge for sessions, and that they will get a special, like, you know, first client bonus or something like that, where you're giving them, you know, a rate. But then you would say, okay, now it's a package of 4, or like, okay, now it's a package of 8.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, great question. All right, I'm going to hop over to the Facebook questions. Actually, I just changed my mind in real time. I'm going to create a video answering those questions and post that because I have all of you live on the call right now. So I think the value really is the live Q&A. So I will speak to Ashley, your questions from the Facebook group, which were great. And Herky had a question around time management, like any time management tips. So I'll post about that as well. Is that okay, Ash? Okay, awesome. Thanks. All right, so a couple more minutes here. Questions, ladies, thoughts, curiosities, inspirations.
I have a question, Vaughn.
Yeah.
So would you recommend as you're maybe starting and trying to figure out exactly what your niche would be, would you recommend maybe starting in a niche, but being a little bit more broad, and then as you practice and work with more clients, getting more and more specific as you are in the experience? Like, I just would worry about maybe kicking off my brand and being like, I'm only for dancers. And then it's like, well, I could also benefit gymnasts who go through a lot of similar experiences. So I don't want to alienate any sort of niche market that I could also support. You know what I mean? So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, that's so great. Mm-hmm. So the thing about coaching is that we do start to realize, like, I can help a lot of different niches, and we're tempted, or at least I was and am, to like help or to coach everyone I can help. So there's kind of, I think there's like a balance point there where you could start with dancers and then get some experience with that and then expand. Or if you find that there's a lot of overlap, again, psychographics are also a niche. So it could be young female athletes or young female athletes in the gymnastics and dance world, because like, it's great that you have some background in the sport or in the specifics of that. But moreover, it's about their experience. It's about the psychology, or, you know, what's going on in that experience. So you could even do like young female athletes, and then you could like narrow in, or you could keep it at young female athletes, or you like young female athletes with like insanely perfectionistic mothers. You know, you can get as fine tuned as you want. Okay. Bye, Kim. Thanks for being here. Bye, Ms. Kim. Yeah, so you can start wherever, and you'll feel into it. Like, you'll get a sense of like, okay, like, I think I want to hold space for the psychographic, which would mean like gymnastics, dancers, ballerinas, or you might get a sense of like, dancers are my thing.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else has questions or just feedback? Mm-hmm. What would you ladies say, like, if you're interested in coaching and you haven't already like made the decision to do it, what is the biggest like question or maybe even fear or concern or thing getting like keeping you from going for it? And there's no judgment here, I'm just curious. So I'll field that to Jasmine and Kaylee actually.
I don't have enough wabi sabi in my life.
What do you mean?
I just like, you are an incredible model, and it's probably like a detriment to my personality type to have landed with you first, because the bar is like, it feels like it's up here, because I would want to be able to give like and model you.
Wow,
the structure is incredible. It truly feels like you're guiding verbally and spiritually, but you also like understand that there's something like tangible about the videos you produce and the content you put out. It's like physical for us. And I've like been through therapy and like I've talked to a lot of people, but this has just been so comprehensive and it makes the journey feel exponentially more valuable. Even if it's not like, even if it isn't, even if I like went to another coach and they didn't do this, it feels like it is. And that matters. There's some validity to that. So like, I believe in like what you're doing and how you're doing it. And so I think the reservation is like, holy crow, how would I put all this together? Like,
I have
even
to
the
agree.
Font and the color and the layout and like the length, the depth, and like the psychology is so important. And I know some of it, but like, I feel like I need to go get a master's in psychology to like match your, I don't know, you have given and can give so much. And I feel like I shouldn't do this if I can't give as much as you, because I should just send anyone who needs coaching to you, you know? So yeah,
I wholeheartedly agree. When you said that most coaches don't have a program, that shocked me. Really? Because my mindset is, okay, I have to create this whole program with these modules to help people. And I just assumed that that was the norm. And the fact that you said it's not, but it should be. I think it should be, because it's amazing.
Thank you. Guys.
I resonate with that 100%, Jasmine and Brynn. I will, if I'm being honest, I've probably been thinking about coaching for a lot longer than when I finally decided to do it. And because I was like, look at Fawn, she's way up here. And she's like, has all this background and all this shit pulled together. Not shit, but you know what I mean? All of these things. And I'm like, there's no way I could ever do that. And it wasn't until I was talking to somebody else and they were like, you light up talking about this, so why don't you just fucking do it? And I was like, okay, I will. But then it's intimidating because we have Fawn as our example, and I want to be like Fawn and be as awesome as he is and have all this pulled together. But I don't know. Somebody was like, this is what lights you up. And I can feel it through your energy through the phone. And she is like, you just do it. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to freaking do it. And then I get to learn from Fawn. So
yeah,
I'll be awesome at some point. So
exactly.
No, it is true, because there's the saying, like, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Like you know, I want to be in the room with people like you.
Yeah.
And with someone like you, Fawn. And so like, I could be that for other people. And like, there's like a tiered level system where I will probably like grow to feel like I'm offering value in the same way. But there's something to be said too for like just hard work and time and energy and dedication and patience to get there. Like, you have to have some resilience and grit, right? That's our three step, like our core things. Like, I can't be Fawn right away. Like, Jazz, you can't be Fawn right away. Get over your ego. Like, you know, So that's also probably part of the process and part of the journey, because Fawn, you probably didn't feel like you could measure up to your coach when you started. And they offered a ton of value, and you've grown into this like wonderful coach, and they're probably proud of you, but now you're probably like proud of yourself and you feel validated too. So we're just like, I like that. Like, be okay with being a baby coach. Like, I'm a baby coach. Yeah. I'm like just out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Thank you so much for your feedback, ladies. Like, it's so, your honesty is so incredible. Thank you for being honest about that. And of course, I'm elated to hear that the value that you're receiving, or even if it's perceived, is what it is. Like, this is monumental to me to hear this. And also, I hear where you're at right now. Like, I fucking do. I feel you. And your journey is something that you can, and I'm just going to say this, it's something you can never imagine how amazing it's going to be and what you're going to grow into. Your potential, you know, as a coach or whatever it is you do, even if you just go through life on purpose and you keep doing what you're doing, you are going to radically shift into your empress or your the alter ego version of yourself that is the thrive mode version of you. No matter what you do, if that's where your heart is and your purpose and your passion is, like, you will be that version of yourself. This happens to be my version of that, right? This happens to be my version of completely fucking surrendering and doing the due diligence to follow whatever the sunlight says is thriving for me and for you guys, for my clients, for my business. And it so happens that this is how it's manifested. And your journey is, you're on it already. And I totally relate with that feeling of like just wanting to get there already, or like, how could I ever get to that level? Like, I'm never gonna, you know, like that's gonna take forever, or I don't have the time, or like, I can't read 3 books a day, like what, you know, all these things. And you don't have to, and your journey is gonna be organically yours. And the most important thing is that you focus on your North Star and you focus on your thrive mode, and that will, that's going to create beyond your imagination, this version of you, whatever that might look like. So I just like, feels really, I don't know, really important for me to share that. And then in terms of like, to be completely real with you guys, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. One of the reasons that I have done all of this, and like, it's been a journey, life on purpose, team, like mentor, like all of it, coaching thousands of one-on-one hours. Part of the thing that I've been excited about the whole time is to teach other people how to do this in a fraction of the time that it took me to do it. So like, now I can teach Kim or Ashley or you ladies, you know, like entrepreneurship or coaching in this much time and what you need to know, and like distill the nuggets down to give you, so that it doesn't take you 8 years to get necessarily right to get where you're going. So anyhow, but I'm here to teach you the models. I'm here to offer that, like, you know, in all capacities, but yeah. So there's my speech. Thank you for sharing what you shared, ladies.
You are so amazing. Like, your vulnerability, even throughout this call, has just been really eye-opening for me too, because I like totally see myself in you, and I can tell, like, even just by the way that your coaching practice is, the level of detail that you go into, I see so much of myself in that, because one of the main things that holds me back in everything I do is perfectionism tendencies. Like, literally as I'm going through this, I'm like, this seems like a lot of work. Well, I'm going to have to do 10 hours of research for each topic before I can actually decide on what I'm going to use. Like, literally I will do 10 hours of research into whether, you know, the 5 different apps for scheduling is good. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just so, analysis paralysis type of person. And like, to sort of see how you've also been there, but like worked through it, and you have this amazing program, which is still detail oriented, but you're overcoming the parts of being a perfectionist that bring you down. You know what I mean? And I've really appreciated you going over this and sort of seeing that in you and your program.
Oh, thanks, Kaylee. Really appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, there's a dance that can happen when we, and I'm not saying you should do this, but for me, it was enormously helpful when I realized that none of this is about me. It is. Yeah, I get to live in Mexico and travel all the time and like do cool, amazing things, but ultimately it's not about me. Like, I get to benefit from it, but this is about my purpose and this is about you guys. And once I surrendered to that and like shifted my focus from like, I don't know, success or money or whatever the hell I thought I was doing to like service and total service and extreme value. The perfectionism really, it's not even here. It's more about like, what is the highest quality I can create? Like, what is the extremest of the value that I can create and provide? And it, my ego is no longer like, I don't know about that. Me. So yeah, anyhow. Thank you for that feedback. Okay, so I'm here for a few more minutes if you guys want to ask questions, but we are over time, so if you need to hop off, feel free to do so. Thanks for being here and listening to me and tuning in. And I am officially offering a certification mentorship, which is a really high level, high touch mentorship right now. And I am considering, after team is finished, I'm considering launching a group coach training program that will be lower one-on-one touch, but it'll be kind of like LFP or team, where it's like a group cohort. So that might be like mid spring sometime. But if you guys have questions, let me know. Cool. All right. Raise your hand. Does anybody have like a question they want to ask right now before you hop off? Pretty complete. Okay. Awesome.
I think I'm just going to disseminate the information and go through it probably.
Good word. I like that word. Okay. Yeah, go for it. And the videos are there and the thread in the Facebook group too, but feel free to reach out about anything. Yeah. Anytime.
Thank you. It was a great call.
Yay.
All right. Thanks, Juan.
Yes. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, ladies.
Bye.
Bye.